Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, one of those sacred cows that's been out there for a while in our culture and really around the world as well is Islam in general. Fundamentalism, which I just think radical Muslims are just fundamentalist Muslims. They know the book well. They know the Quran. They know the Hadith. They know the history of Muhammad, and they act accordingly. They follow. You know, there's the WWJD bracelet. What would Jesus do? If you're going to do a WWMD, what would Muhammad do? It's not pretty. And so you've got, because it's a false religion, and you don't have an actual theology where you can flow through and it all makes sense, and the front checks the back and so on and so forth, like you can with the Bible. You don't have that because it's a false religion. So you have a large percentage, 70%+ of Muslims worldwide don't even read Arabic, so they can't read the Quran in the original language. And so you have that a wide variety of Muslims around the world and even here in America. So I never say that. Listen, I do this with Mormonism as well. I'll say, listen, I hate Mormonism, but I don't hate Mormons. I love and care for Mormons. I hate Islam, but I don't hate Muslims. I love and care for Muslims and all of them, Muslim, Mormon, Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, Jewish, atheist, agnostic, red, yellow, black, and white, rich, poor, whatever. It doesn't matter because every single human being in human history is made in the image of God, therefore worthy of dignity and respect to a certain extent. But just because they bear the mark, the Imago Dei, we should show dignity and care and concern for every human being. Now, there are, of course, limitations to that when you get into people that do you harm and things of that nature. But generally, we should be looking at people through the lens of the gospel. And I do. I try desperately to do that. I'm much better at now and care a lot more now than I used to. But today we're going to kind of get into everything blowing up with Ilhan Omar, Representative Ilhan Omar, who's the Somali refugee and Muslim who's in Congress now, and her recent comments at the Valley Banquet for Care, L.A., Council for Islamic American Islamic Relations, which has a lot of ties to pretty radical groups in the Middle East, to say the least. So CARE in and of itself does not have a great position on this show, nor should it. They get no respect from me. But Ilhan Omar, in her comments that are out there now, some people did something referring to 9/11. There's other comments in her speech. She spoke for about 25 minutes, and I'm going to play several things for you so you can hear that, and I'll take you into the proper context. And then I'm going to give you some, as she discusses Muhammad and things like that, I'm going to give you other information about what Muslims, not only here in America, but around the world, believe about Sharia law, about violence, things like that. And a large percentage of the respondents are going down a road that's dangerous. And she, for whatever reason, she misses the context of all of that. But whether she's a Muslim or not, it's irrelevant when she refers to 9/11 as some people did something. And being a Muslim and having all kinds of inflammatory statements about Israel and anti-Semitic, there's a lot of stuff out there with Ilhan Omar. And the fact that she hasn't backed up at all on the way she described it, and you'll hear it in context, and people, liberal media saying, oh, it's all taken out of context, yada, yada, yada. Like, here's something from The Atlantic. Ilhan Omar falls victim to the outrage exhibitionists in attacking the representative over a small, unintentional slight. A small, unintentional slight. When you're a Somali refugee who's become an American citizen, made it into Congress, congratulations, it's an awesome achievement, and all of that, and you're wearing a hijab and you're standing up there and you're referring to 9/11, the worst incident in U.S. history in terms of an attack on our country, and not that long ago, and knowing there's a whole lot of people in America that are still, myself included, very sensitive on that subject, to kind of call that just an unintentional slight is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And if it is, then her intelligence level and her responsibility level and her maturity level is so low that she should not be a member of Congress. But you can get anybody into Congress these days. We know that. So that says more about the people where she's at, which up in Minnesota, you've got a lot of Somali refugees up there, by the way. And so that had a lot to do with how she got in. But then, you know, you heard about this, perhaps Donald Trump came out and tweeted this video that shows her comments and then juxtaposes her comments with footage from 9/11. Now, was that, you know, and he tweeted that and said, we will never forget. And he kind of kept doubling down on things that he said and going after her and Nancy Pelosi, which is what Donald Trump does, which I don't think is wise necessarily. But certainly to come out swinging against the way she characterized 9/11, some people did something, is justified. Totally. And now I'm going to play some comments from her and what she said about Donald Trump and him inciting violence. And now, you know, she's talking about all these death threats have increased. And but let's not forget. And I don't agree with any of those. Obviously, that should not be happening. But let's not forget that all of this started with her choice of words. Didn't start with Donald Trump. And again, I'm not giving carte blanche to everything Donald Trump does with his Twitter account. I do not. But she started it. So we're going to get into that in the second and third segments of the show. I'm going to play several clips for you. I'm going to give you some realities about Islam and what U.S. Muslims believe, a large percentage of them, an alarming percentage of them, as well as Muslims around the world. We'll talk about that. And then in the fourth segment, we'll have our friend David Fisher in here because today's the day, tax day, April 15th. Happy birthday to my sister. I don't know if she's watching right now. She might be watching on Facebook Live. You are. So happy birthday to my sister. That's the oldest noble sibling. And I'll call you later, Kath. Don't worry. I'll call you. But it's tax day, my sister's birthday, and this is the day that we write the check to the U.S. government because I refuse to give them a interest-free loan. So today, April 15th. And really shocking. Did you hear this? Did you see this yet? This massive fire, and I'm going to come back to Ilhan Omar. Don't worry. Massive fire at Notre Dame. I mean, in France, right there in Paris. I mean, shocking. You know the big spire right up in the middle of it? That collapsed. Very 9/11-ish to watch it. I mean, the Twitter people catching it, because everybody's a photographer now. Everybody's got their video going on their camera. It's really alarming, really sad. This is a massive fire. A good chunk of the roof is on fire. That spire literally collapsed, a la very similar to 9/11 and the Twin Towers. And a large percentage of the roof has been on fire. Really tragic. That's just going on today. And it's just amazing to watch that and sad. That's been obviously a staple in the Catholic world for a long, long time, and there in Paris, and we all kind of know it. It's iconic. And they have been doing a bunch of construction from the reports that I'm reading. They are tying that to the construction somehow. So really, really sad to see that going on. I said there's catastrophic losses there, not of life, but of Notre Dame itself. The whole thing hasn't burned down, but a large percentage of it, and like I said, that main spire that you would recognize, it's gone. It was kind of like in the days after 9/11, they're all of a sudden, if you look at the south end of Manhattan, and the towers are gone. And we'll go there next as we talk about Representative Ilhan Omar. We're going to let her deal with herself with her own words. This is Steve. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. And let's dive into some of this. And we're going to be we're kind of working our way through some of Representative Ilhan Omar's remarks. This was all came out to light in the last week when she said about referring to 9/11. Some people did something. And then everybody on the left is coming to her defense. It was just a slip of the tongue. No big deal. Relax. You guys are turning something and nothing into something. It was just you took it out of context. No, anybody responding to this did not. Trump came out hard on Friday. And did a tweet that showed a video somebody had created juxtaposing her remarks to actual shots from 9/11 and the attack and the towers falling to show that, you know, this is how she's describing 9/11. Some people did something. So I'm going to get to that clip, but there's two other clips in this speech that you need to hear and be aware of that are give you a glimpse into how she thinks and who she is. And I'll sprinkle in here some information about Islam, which I've done a lot over the years on Islam and talked about Islam and Muhammad, the religion itself, what it teaches, ISIS, all kinds of stuff, the Islamic State, all that kind of stuff. Okay, so I'm going to intermingle some of that. To wake you up. I have no interest in any of us turning around hating Muslims. I hate Islam because it's a false religion and leads people to hell, just like I hate any false religion. But I don't hate Muslims. So, well, that's easy for you to say, Steve. What? judge me all you want. You can't judge my heart, and the Lord knows where I'm at on this. So I care, and we should all care for everybody. But we got to deal with reality as well and call facts out where they are at. So this was the first clip. She's talking about here about Donald Trump. Okay, she's leveling a charge that's very dangerous to play around with here. Again, this is Representative Ilhan Omar at the Valley Banquet for the CARE organization, Council for American Islamic Relations out in L.A. Okay, just listen to this clip.
But the reason I think that many of us knew that this was going to get worse.
And she's talking about mistreatment of Muslims in America. Okay, that's the backdrop of this whole speech that she gave, this 24-minute speech. Muslims being treated poorly in America. Okay, it's the backdrop.
Is that we finally have a leader, a world leader, in the White House who publicly says Islam hates us, who fuels hate against Muslims, who think it is okay. It is okay.
Listen.
To speak about a faith and a whole community in a way that is dehumanizing, vilifying, and doesn't understand, or at least makes us want to think that he doesn't understand the consequences that his words might have. Some people, like me, know that he understands the consequences.
So she's leveling a charge that he knows his comments could incite violence against Muslims in America, and that's actually kind of what he wants. That's what she's saying. And she's saying, I know he understands that. I know that's what he's up to.
He knows that there are people that he can influence to threaten our lives, to diminish our presence.
Now, that's a pretty radical charge, is it not? That the President of the United States knows, and she's saying he knows, he knows what he's doing. That when he says these things, I think Islam hates us, which he said in 2016. I'll go to that in a second. That when he says these things, he knows behind closed doors, and he knows secretly that what he's doing is that there are some people that type of language will incite them to violence, and then they will exact violence onto Muslims here in America. And that's what she believes he's doing. That's what she thinks of the President of the United States. That's what she thinks of Donald Trump. Okay. Now, he actually did say that Islam hates us. I think Islam hates us, Trump told CNN's Anderson Cooper, deploring the tremendous hatred that he said partly defined the religion. He maintained the war was against radical Islam. This is all the way back in 2016 in March, okay, during the primaries. It's very hard to define, he said. It's very hard to separate because you don't know who's who. Asked if the hate was in Islam itself, Trump would only say that was for the media to figure out. You're going to have to figure that out, okay? He told Cooper. We have to be very vigilant. We have to be very careful. And we can't allow people coming into this country who have this hatred of the United States. Okay? So that's a kind of a national security statement. But let me go to something here that you need to understand. There have been several polls over the last 5 years taken of not just Muslims around the world, but Muslims here in America. Okay, so here's one. This is from the Center for Security Policy. This is from 2015, okay, 4 years ago, about 4 years ago. According to a new nationwide online survey of 600 Muslims living in the United States, of those polled, a significant minority embraces the supremacist notions that could pose a threat to American security and constitutional form of government. Listen to this. Now, this is not all Muslims, okay? They polled 600 Muslims in America. According to the Just Released survey, this is 2015, a majority, 51%, agreed that, quote, Muslims in America should have the choice of being governed according to Sharia. That's talking about Sharia law, which if you've never studied it, is completely contradictory to the United States Constitution. 51% agreed that Muslims in America should have the choice of being governed according to Sharia. More than half of U.S. Muslims polled also believe either that they should have the choice of American or Sharia courts or that they should have their own tribunals to apply Sharia. So 51% are saying, I live here under the U.S. Constitution, but not really. I want the option to live under Sharia law, which is completely incompatible with the Constitution, okay? Here's another one. Nearly a quarter of the Muslims polled believe that it is legitimate to use violence to punish those who give offense to Islam by, for example, portraying the Prophet Muhammad. You draw a picture of Muhammad, any kind of portrayal of Muhammad, all right? Nearly one-fifth of Muslim respondents said that the use of violence in the United States is justified in order to make Sharia law the land of the country, the law, the land in this country, okay? The law, the land in this country. Nearly one-fifth of Muslims, slightly less than 20%. And that's that's serious, and it's alarming. And so to act like everybody's just peace-loving and no problem, can't we all get along, is ignorant. Okay, now let's go worldwide. Here's some polling from a bunch of different sources. Informal poll of Saudis in August 2014 shows 92% agree that the Islamic State, quote, conforms to the values of Islam and Islamic law. 92% of the Saudis, Muslim Saudis, okay? Al Jazeera poll in 2015, 81% of the respondents support the Islamic State. The polling company in 2015, 33% of Muslim Americans say Al-Qaeda beliefs are Islamic or correct. 33% of Muslim Americans say Al-Qaeda beliefs are Islamic or correct. Here's another one from that poll. 38% of Muslim Americans say the Islamic State beliefs are correct or Islamic. ISIS, 38% of Muslim Americans. And this is why CARE is such an alarming organization. Same poll, 1.5 million British Muslims support the Islamic State, about half the total population. That's in Britain. This is serious stuff. Here's another one. This was in 2016. A new survey conducted by the think tank European Values found 44% of Muslims in Europe have beliefs that correspond to radical Islamic fundamentalism. The survey discovered 57% of Muslims reject homosexuals as friends, 45% said they don't trust the Jews, and 54% think of the West as the enemy of Islam. This is why, with the reality of what's out there, Ilhan Omar, not paying any attention to the context that way, is incredibly irresponsible, okay? Now, the next one I'm going to play for you when we come back, and then I'm going to play the big kahuna, which is her talking about some people did something. I'll play something real quick about Muhammad, what she said about Muhammad, poor little Muhammad, who is a ransacking, murdering, conquering Islamic hero, Muhammad, the founder of the religion, who I will tell you straight out, when they said he was visited by the angel Gabriel in a cave, no, he was not. If anything, he was visited by a demon to create a false religion, which is exactly what happened. So when we go, we come back, Ilhan Omar on Muhammad, and then Ilhan Omar, some people did something. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We'll get to our buddy David Fisher in the last segment of the show here as we he's giving away the prize pack today, which included a gold coin valued at $1,600. So if you were part of that, you'll find out who the winner is in just a little while, about 15 minutes from now. So we'll talk to David Fisher in the final segment. Playing some clips for you from Representative Ilhan Omar's speech at the 4th Annual Valley Banquet 2019 for CARE in L.A., the Council for American Islamic Relations, which has all kinds of ties to Hezbollah. And this is not a nice organization. They play nice in the public, but they've got all kinds of tentacles back to the Middle East and in terrorist organizations. So CARE is not to be trusted, and she's out there speaking to them. And this next clip, I was playing a first clip about saying Donald Trump, when he's coming out and saying things about Islam, that what he's really trying to do is incite certain people to violence. Okay? It's just a psycho, crazy, salacious charge by her. Then this next part I thought was interesting, where she's talking about Muhammad. Okay? I thought this was fascinating, and I'll clear this up. But this is what Ilhan Omar thinks of Muhammad, the founder of Islam.
So when you know as a Muslim that advancing justice is very inherent in you.
She's going to tie the advancement of justice to Muhammad, which is laughable. Keep listening.
When you know as a Muslim, our faith's initial foundations were built by a prophet who was vilified, had stones and fruit and all kind of things thrown at him.
So, see that picture she's painting? Poor Muhammad, just trying to start a religion of peace, and people are throwing stuff at him. It's amazing.
A prophet who had to make a pilgrimage and leave his home.
Oh.
Then you know that when Ilhan,
talking about herself,
is facing some controversy, that is not something to be afraid of.
Okay, so she's painting Muhammad as just a good, nice prophet who was just trying to preach Islam and preach peace and love and all that kind of stuff. And so they didn't like that. So they threw things at him, rocks and fruit and other kind of stuff. That's how she's portraying Muhammad, in that if you have a sense of justice, that's because of our religion's founder, because of Muhammad. That's why you have a sense of justice, which is ridiculous, because the last thing on the schedule or on the menu with Islam is justice. For example, here's Islamic. Here is Muhammad's school of evangelism. Okay, I'm going to give you three choices. You can convert and join us, become a Muslim. Or if we're feeling particularly merciful, you can pay the jizra, which is about a 10% tax on all your income that you pay us, and we'll allow you to stay alive while you live here in our lands, or we'll just kill you. That's evangelism 101 from Muhammad. Okay, that's the deal. Muhammad, when he's young, is raised, he's around some Christianity, he's around all these the tons of Bedouin gods out there in the desert, and he goes to a cave one day, and he has an experience, I would say with a demon. He said it's with the angel Gabriel, and then starts to write down the Quran. So then he tries to peddle this new religion in Mecca. That doesn't go well. They drive him out. That's what she's talking about. But then he goes to Medina. And in Medina, he gets an audience. He starts to get some followers. He starts to get stronger. And then they start a raiding party up and down the main roads between Mecca and Medina. And then once he gets strong enough, he comes back to Mecca and heads fly. Literally. Blood in the street, heads coming off. And that's when the real Muhammad stepped forward with power and might. That's when he took a 9-year-old to be his bride. And he waited till she was 11 to consummate the marriage and all that kind of stuff. And she's just referring to him as just the poor, nice little prophet that was abused, and which is what's happening to us. And so if you have a sense of injustice, that's because of our religion's founder, Muhammad. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Total denial of the truth of Islam and its own history. I know WWJD, what would Jesus do? You'd want him as a neighbor. What would Muhammad do? Cut your head off. And I don't know, I sound harsh, right? I'm just telling you the truth. Go study it. Now, you got all kinds of different versions and flavors of Islam around the world because most of them, like a lot of American Christians, don't have a clue what's in the book. And north of 70% of Muslims worldwide don't even read Arabic, which is what the Quran can only be translated, can only show up in Arabic. Anything else is apostasy. All right, here's the big quote. Here's where she was talking about, again, the backdrop, we get treated poorly. And this is where she talks about 9/11. Listen to this.
It doesn't matter how good you are if you one day find yourself in a school where other religions are talked about, but when Islam is mentioned, we are only talking about terrorists. And if you say something, you are sent to the principal's office.
Which is I'm not denying that there hasn't been mistreatment of Muslims around the country since 9/11. Obviously, there has been. And I'm sure there was before that, but I'm sure it amped up. But she's saying anytime Islam is referred to in schools, they're only talking about terrorists. And if you come against that, they send you to the principal's office. It's crazy hearsay, and it's just over the top. It's just a rhetoric trying to make her point.
So to me, I say raise hell. Make people uncomfortable.
Now, doesn't that sound like she's inciting people to violence? She accused Trump of that. But she says raise hell and make people uncomfortable. And to a fundamentalist Muslim? Yeah. I can take you to the book and show you what that means. All right, here we go. Let's keep going. And they cheer for that, of course.
Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. Far too long, we have lived with the discomfort of being a second-class citizen. And frankly, I'm tired of it. And every single Muslim in this country should be tired of it. CARE was founded after 9/11.
It was founded in 94.
Because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties.
Because they realized that some people did something and then we realized that, you know, we were starting to lose our access to civil liberties. She's talking about 9/11. CARE was founded after 9/11. No, it wasn't. It was founded in 1994. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt there that she just didn't have her facts right. But she's talking about 9/11 and then we realized because some people did something. Listen, I was at Ground Zero on November 9th of 2001. I smelled the smells. I met the widow of a firefighter who died that day, who was a brand new firefighter. He just finished probation. I saw his then 1-month-old baby there in the house, who was born by C-section on September 14th. I was there. I met firefighters. I was all around that stuff on November 9th, 2011. Some people did something, and now everybody's going ballistic because she's getting hammered for it. And Nancy Pelosi's, you know, defending her. And then Trump keeps going. She's out of control, except for her control of Nancy. That's another tweet. Pelosi was among Democrats who had criticized Trump over the tweet, with some accusing him of trying to incite violence against the Muslim lawmaker. And she's saying threats to her have gone up. Of course they have, because you referred to 9/11 as some people did something. Of course, I'm not endorsing any threats of violence. That's ridiculous. Nobody should be doing that. And if you want to go do harm to Representative Ilhan Omar, who has the freedom of speech and spoke in remarkably unsympathetic, dare I say, hateful terms to reduce 9/11 and all the carnage from that, victims of 9/11, their families, their kids who have grown up without mom or dad or both, to some people did something. Like, let's say that you're involved in somebody breaks in and rapes and then kills your family. And we refer to that later. And I say, well, you know, back then when somebody did something. What? She's getting hammered, and she deserves to get hammered. And she hasn't said anything. She hasn't backtracked at all on her comment. All she's saying is that, hey, people are trying to attack me. This is endangering lives, she said, accusing Trump of fomenting right-wing extremism. It has to stop. But Omar said that since Trump retweeted the video Friday night, that's the video that juxtaposes what her comments with actual footage of 9/11, that's just, you know, over the top. And so that's what's going on. But that's the context. Clearly, she was referring to 9/11. There's no doubt about it. Clearly. And then you know what she did to try to defend herself? She later sought to defend herself, I'm reading from an article, by tweeting a quote from President George W. Bush, in which the Republican president referred to the attackers as people just days after 9/11. That's when he was on the top of the fire truck. Remember that? And he said, and they were telling him because they couldn't hear him because of the bullhorn. They said, "We can't hear you." And he said, "I can hear you." And everybody cheers. Remember that? "I can hear you. And the people that did this will hear from all of us soon." So she's trying to compare her comments of referring to some people did something. Well, that's what President Bush did. Wow. Is that arrogance? Ignorance? What is that? It's ridiculous. It's pathetic. That's her only defense of her statement. Well, George Bush referred to the 9/11 attackers as people while he's standing in the middle of the destruction a few days after it happened, for goodness sakes. And the smoke's still coming up. They were referring to, of course, the terrorists in the midst of the attack. Holy cow. Here we are. That was 2001, ma'am, September of 2001. You're talking in March of 2019, 18 years later. Talk about a different context. It's pathetic. Should she be harmed? No. Should she be censured by Congress? Absolutely. Should she be taking all kinds of heat in the press? Absolutely. Because she deserves it. She made that happen. It's disgusting. This is Steve Noble. When we come back, David Fisher from Landmark Capital, and we'll announce the winner. Awesome. $1,600 gold coin. We've been doing that for the last couple months. You'll hear the winner when we come back. Waiting for a message in the sky. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Great to be with you, and happy to be changing the subject. That was an important subject as we talked about Representative Ilhan Omar and playing those videos. And here in the studio, if you join us on Facebook Live, we're actually, when I'm playing stuff like that, on Facebook Live, you would actually see the video. So I've been looking at Ilhan Omar for the last 45 minutes. I'm glad I got to take that down. Now I'm looking at my good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, because we've got a Money Monday update. And the big thing today, of course, is the coin giveaway, which is super exciting. It's valued at about $1,600. So there's the prize pack there, which we're going to get to in a second. And we'll get the winner out there. And that's just really cool. It's been a lot of fun to do this. And it's been, a couple of months we've been working on this. Almost since the beginning of the year, wasn't it, David?
Yeah, the second week in January. Absolutely. Wow.
Yeah, so we've been at it for a while. So we had 81 entries. We had 23 area codes there. And it all comes down to one winner. So that's been really cool to see all kinds of people being a part of it. So let's start with your passage of scripture today, David, and then we'll get to our winner.
Out of Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, I feel like this is reminds me of my earlier days when I was not a believer of growing up in church, in the Lutheran church, the part of the liturgy that they had. And it says this: "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You know, once I got saved, that scripture meant totally something else. Man. And, you know, scripture does come alive and your whole life changes, prayer changes, everything changes. And that's the walk of the Christian life. You know, but God is reaching out to his children and wooing them every day. You know, he doesn't wait for us to come to him, Steve. He seeks us out because that's his pleasure. That's his who he is. That is who he is as our Father and a being as God created who's almighty. He's not waiting for us to, you know, wake up and say, oh, now is the time that we go find him. No, he's knocking on our door, as Revelation says, every day, not just to invite us into him into our lives, but he's pursuing us every day. You know, he's not irritable. He's not edgy. He's never short with his anger and short fused. So these attributes of God, and he certainly doesn't get bored with his creations because he made us in his own image. What a concept. So God wants to bless us, and he makes his face shine upon us. In other words, he has good thoughts. He has good ideas, good feelings towards his creation. It's the scripture says he holds the heart of the king, and that would be a queen, and us as believers, men and women, and children of God. He holds us in the very palm of his hand. So his face and his countenance, you know, this reminds me of my earlier days when I was a full-time pastor. I used to go on visitation at the hospital, and I would see many family members get really close to the person that's in the bed in the hospital and look at them face to face and show them the love and the appreciation that they had for that family member. And that's how God views us. He gets really close to us and he shows his love with us. And he did it really in a profound way by sending his son to die for us. But God blesses us every day in different ways, in different forms. And today he's doing it in a form by giving away a gold coin.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And and he loves to bless us. I mean, it's like, you know, we love to do that. We should love to bless our children. And we often miss the obvious parallels between our lives as parents, if you happen to be a parent, and then our Heavenly Father who wants to lavish blessings upon us. Of course, the only thing that really holds that back is our obedience. When we stress out that relationship, we never stop. Once you're saved, you never stop being a son or a daughter. Just like when our kids do things wrong. When my kids misbehave or break rules, whatever, they don't stop being my son. My daughter doesn't stop being my daughter. The relationship can get harmed. But they never stop that relation. They're still my son or daughter. But I love to lavish blessings on our kids when it's appropriate. And God does the same exact thing. So, yeah, today, for a lot of people, tax day, that's a bummer. We're not happy about that. For a lot of people, myself included, we have money going out. But in the case of today, with the prize winner, there's actually money coming in the form of a gold coin. So tell us how this all went down, David, and then let's talk to our winner. Because David just did this a little while ago.
So we've been talking about the Federal Reserve for the last, since the beginning of the year, and because it has such a powerful influence. And the Federal Reserve was created in the year 1913, and it's kind of contrary to gold because they print money and create money out of thin air. And gold is the hedge against that, the money devaluing. So this coin represents the history of that year, 1913, in the Federal Reserve. We have different mints, Philadelphia, Denver, and San Francisco. And Steve, this coin was minted in Philadelphia. And normally, every year, they mint over 1 million coins. But this year, particularly in 1913, in the Philadelphia minted, they only minted 168,780 coins. So it has a little bit of rarity by mintage. Now, the grade of the coin is an MS62. That's the quality of this coin. In this quality, in any other given year, most of them, there's about 100,000 known to be in existence. But this particular year, there's only 2,200. Wow. 2,200, that's all that have been known in existence. So it's not rare, but it has rarity. And the third-party price guide in my industry prices this coin at $1,825. We conservatively price it at $1,600. So we're giving away four things today. This guidebook, for those on Facebook can see this guidebook of United States coins, talks about all the coins that the U.S. Mint has minted and even the coins that were minted prior to having U.S. mints around. Another book on the Federal Reserve, A Creature from Jekyll Island.
Of course. What a good
title. And it is a Jekyll Island kind of Federal Reserve, I'll say. And most importantly, a one-hour consultation. No, not most importantly, but they get a three-hour consultation with me.
Importantly, though.
And some people really enjoy that. They learn so much during that hour-long consultation. And then most importantly, the 1913.
Yeah, there it is. It's just
$20 gold piece.
Yeah, in a, in a pure gold piece. It's just amazing. They're, I'm always surprised by how much they weigh, but it's really beautiful. Yeah, if you're here with us on Facebook Live, you can see that. Okay, so who is our winner today? And then we've got him on the phone, but why don't you announce that, and then I'll pull him up.
So I'm happy to announce the winner. The gold coin entry is Larry Smith.
Yeah, Larry Smith, and he's from North Carolina. Larry lives in Bahama, North Carolina, which is north of Durham. Larry, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Good to talk to you again.
Good. So once you, once David called you and let you know that you were the winner, it's a $1,600 coin on tax day when most of us, the money's going out. How do you feel about that? It's pretty cool. Congratulations.
Oh, it is. Thank you. It is. I mean, when he called and he left me a message, I said, well, maybe he's calling about the coin. But I was like, I never win anything. So surely he's not calling about the coin. And but I called him back, and to my surprise, he said I was the winner. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, of course, we have David on Skype in the show here, and I'm glad you guys got a chance to talk earlier. But yeah, I feel the same way as you, Larry. I'm always the guy saying, I never win anything. But, you know, it's so funny on tax day that you're the winner. But it's really good. David, what would you like to say to Larry? I know you guys had a chance to talk earlier, but it's really exciting.
Well, first of all, Larry, thank you for being a listener to Steve Noble. He's a dear friend, become a dear friend and a brother of mine. And I know he touches a lot of lives. So first of all and foremost, thank you for being an avid listener to him and supporting his show. And second of all, thank you for allowing me some time to bless you in a very different way and allowing us to get to know each other. I'm looking for future conversations. We'll definitely, you know, give you a FedEx number when your gold gets shipped out here today or tomorrow. And by the way, the producer, I can't hear anything that Larry has said, so I'm kind of
driving blindly. Oh, that's okay. All right. That's all right.
But I appreciate Larry and your commitment to your ministry that you told me earlier. And thank you for your service to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of earth here in the form of the police department. Amen. I appreciate that.
Amen. Larry, anything you'd like to say back? And then I'll relay it to David because it's a little different when I got somebody on the phone, I got somebody on Skype. We have some challenges with that. But go ahead, Larry.
Sure. So I'll just say that John from Landmark followed up with me after I entered, and something I had been thinking about anyway after hearing him so many times on your Money Monday show. And John called me, he was just very helpful, walked through some things with me and explained all the questions I had, no pressure. And so I've been really impressed with Landmark. I look forward to dealing with John and with David in the future. And looking forward to getting the coin. And to you, Steve, I've seen you at a couple of the Ralph Thompson's events.
Yes, sir.
So I love your show, and I'm glad to be a winner, especially on tax day.
Especially on tax day. It's good to be a winner on tax day, Larry, because most of us assuredly are not. Larry Smith, God bless you, brother. And yeah, I remember meeting you, and that's a great organization. This is emergency chaplains that do provide a chaplaincy service to first responders here in the area. And Larry, thanks so much for listening, and congratulations. Just awesome. Praise the Lord for that. And I look forward to hearing more about how things are going with you guys and Landmark. That's really cool. It's awesome. Congratulations.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Steve. Pass on my appreciation to David. And look forward to getting the coin and further conversations with him. God bless you.
Yeah, that's great. God bless you, too. Thanks so much, Larry. We appreciate it. And yeah, what a nice guy. And I have met Larry a couple times, but, you know, it must have been kind of fun when you're pulling out all these names because there were, 83? I think that was 81 entries, 23 different area codes, and one winner on tax day, which is just hilarious. And Larry's one of the few winners today out there, David. Most of us are not celebrating like Larry is. Pretty cool. Thanks you so much for doing that. That was really kind of you.
You know, we really appreciate that, and that should show our commitment to helping people learn about how important it is and how beneficial it is to diversify into precious metal, because we have a recession that's going to come, and when it comes, you're going to want to have some gold in that precious metal portfolio of yours, because it surely will save you from having all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, well, thanks for that Easter reference there. Although, yeah. Although this week, you know, we're all about, you know, there's Easter, there's chocolate bunnies and all that stuff, and that's cute, but it's not the point. And the point started yesterday on Palm Sunday with Christ's triumphal entry and then goes through the trials and everything this week. Good Friday, of course, this Friday when he was crucified. They thought it was over. And then on Sunday, he rose again. Praise the Lord for that. And as always, David, thank you so much for being here. And we look forward to talking again next week. But for people that want to find out more information, how can they get in touch with you?
They can call us the old-fashioned way at 844-879-8882, 844-879-8882. 8882 or go to our website at landmarkgold.com.
Awesome. God bless you, brother. Have a great Easter week. We'll talk again real soon.
Amen. He is risen.
Amen. He is risen indeed. We'll talk later. Thanks, David. All right. That was fun. Never had a chance to do that again. That was cool. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.